Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Faulkner, who did an unbelievably good job with Haynes King past couple of years. It's basically the old OC quarterback, you know, duo moving to a new school. So he's not going to have to learn a new playbook, not going to have to learn new terminology. He can hit the ground running and get rolling. And they still have Jaden Ball. They were able to retain Jaden Ball. They're good running back. So I think he's going to be a redshirt sophomore, Philo. But that has the potential to turn out really well. He's got some legs, got a good arm. Was a decent recruit. So Florida and you know, Aaron Philo, Buster Faulkner, that could work out pretty well for them, even in year one. Now let's go ahead and grab a break on that note. When we come back, we'll start up hour number two with a man of the hour. Jeff Calkins joins the show next. Now, I'm sure everybody has seen the news by now, but Jeff Calkins, you have three more days. Three more days of the Jeff Calkins Show before he steps away from radio after 16 great years, but he joins the show now. I'll bid him a full farewell on Thursday when he joins the show, but he's a columnist of the Daily Memphian and also hosts the Jeff Calkins Show for three more days on X at Jeff_Calkins. Jeff, how's it going?
I don't think 16 years is right. I think... Well, if you're counting from when I started my show, oh, I guess that's right. If you're counting from when I started in 92.9, that's 16 years. That's true.
Radio been a little longer than that. I get that.
Radio since 2004. And then, but if you go this particular show that I was doing, that's only since 2013, I think. So, but anyway, yeah, I wish like John Harbaugh, I had 3 years left on my deal, you know. Yeah. That'd be great. Can you imagine? How much fun would that be? I don't know what he makes, but to be paid for another, you know. Now, of course, he'll get another gig, and I presume there's an offset, I would think. Or maybe not. Who knows?
Right, right.
But yeah. One more day with you. I remember when we began, I think we were arguing about koozies probably right from the very start.
Yes, for sure. No doubt. Can I be honest? I remember one of my first days was the Tiger Woods handing, was it Justin Thomas, the tampon controversy? We had a nice debate about that. You remember that way back when?
Yeah, I do. I thought it was, and you thought it was Much Ado About Nothing. Your position?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, that was mine. Yeah. We had a nice little back and forth.
We had a little back and forth over that. Well, what's radio if you can't have a little back and forth? What's talk radio? It shouldn't be, by the way, and it never is with us because we have no idea what we're going to talk about. It shouldn't be structured or planned in advance or artificially. I couldn't have predicted that you would have had such a misguided view on that. So it's organic, and on koozies too. It's just an organic disagreement that comes up, and I think that's, you know, on these important issues, it's it's good to have a little lively back and forth.
Let me be a pupil for a second. If you could go back to your first day on radio and tell yourself something you learned throughout these 21 years, what would it be? Is it that? Be a little less structured, a little more conversational? Is there something there?
No, the funny thing is that I really like, this is one of the things that Brad does. Like Brad says, you know, that guests don't matter, right? Whatever. Like he doesn't mean like, of course, guests, we appreciate them, whatever else. But he thinks that the best part of radio is this conversation, right? This sort of back and forth between the hosts and whatnot. And I really like talking to people. You know, it was actually one of my difficult things with radio was that when I started, I was a writer, and there you focus on one topic and you just ask questions and then you let someone else talk and then you write it, you know, and it's a very different discipline than having to hold forth on a million different things, have opinions about a million different things, which some of which I might be an expert on, but a lot of which I'm not. So it was a real adjustment for me to even do radio. I think one of the things though, that I really have come to believe is certainly as a columnist, I believe this too, is that people don't, in fact, want to hear you trashing their team all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I think people actually like, and maybe this is shocking given what we see on social media, but I think people like some positivity. You know, obviously there are times when your team outrages you to such an extent that vitriol is required and it's like an outlet for people, right? Everyone's mad and they want to vent. And I get that. And at their times you have to be negative. But fundamentally, I don't think people like to hear, you know, wake up every day and turn on the radio and hear people pissing on whatever, you know, everything that they hold dear, right? So I actually, certainly from when I first started in radio and I was first started as a writer, I am much more upbeat. If there's an opportunity to be upbeat, I try to be upbeat because particularly in Memphis, I think there's enough people telling us that everything's terrible that, right. That I try to be a little more upbeat. But beyond that, we each have our own approaches. You know, we each have our own styles. I don't think anyone else would have Charles Fishman on like I do every Tuesday to talk about the whole rest of the world. Like we literally are talking about, interest rate increases and stuff like who that's kind of crazy that we do that at works in Memphis. And so, you know, and you coming from having played for the University of Memphis have a totally different perspective than I do on things. And I think people appreciate that, but I don't have any particular advice. I figured it out as I went along. And I remember when I would be, you know, when I was with George Lapidus,
right,
and had no idea what I was doing, I would be terrified on the days when George was on vacation because I had to host the show by myself.
Get into breaks, come out of breaks.
Oh, well, and you'd have to be so prepared. What if there's dead air? What if I
right.
don't have anything to talk about? Like, what happens if a guest doesn't show up? What am I going to do then?
What's my go-to if we run out of conversation? Yeah.
Yeah.
What do we lean back on?
And now I'm just more comfortable with handling that sort of thing. But it's like anything; like you do figure this out as you go along a little bit. I really did. I got into radio because whatever. Like when I started the commercial appeal, I made $52,000. Right, that was my salary at the commercial appeal, and I had three boys, and newspapers pay only so much, and
right.
so you're like, I can. And so I started, I went on with George for $20,000 a year and that helped pay, you know, bills. That's why I did it. I didn't intend to be a radio host. That wasn't I wanted to be a writer. That's what a reporter. And then over time, what happened was that everyone got the newspaper back then. So people knew me as a newspaper guy, 250,000 people got the commercial appeal. Radio was just like, I mean, they knew George, it was his show. But over time, as the reach of newspapers, and that's whether I was at the CA or at the Daily Memphian, just the reach has diminished. It's just true. And then the reach of radio has sort of grown. But now I'm really walking away from the thing that, you know, that people know me as more than as the columnist that I've always been. But I do welcome the chance to go back and just spend more time writing columns. That's part of this. It'll be fun to just focus on the thing that is I consider my highest and best use.
All right. Now, I know you've talked about this in the past, but I'm curious, since you brought it up a couple times now, what was it like working with George, the late George Lapidus?
Well, I mean, George, what I particularly admire about George is, well, first of all, unlike me, like, he did it to the end. I'm 64, and I'm like, okay, I've done this enough, right?
Right. Sure.
And so I'm stopping. George had this terrible lung disease that took him too young.
Right.
And up until the very end, he was still doing radio. Like, he had an unbelievable work ethic. The other thing about George is that he was a reporter to the core. And so he was on radio and wanted to break news. Certainly when he's on a TV, he wanted to break news. When I came to Memphis, I couldn't believe that at the newspaper, we assigned someone to watch the news every night because George could be breaking news. I came from Miami. It was unheard of that the TV stations would break news that the newspaper didn't already have sort of in that time. But George brought that newspaper mentality. The other thing is that George always thought that and this is the right way to do it. It's the opposite from how I think about it. George always thought that he was doing people a favor to have them on. And so he got everybody he wanted. Like, he would routinely have Archie Manning on,
right?
You know, whatever. He'd, oh, Archie, I'll do you a favor. You can come on the radio in Memphis, you know, like, and so he would get guests, and he almost, like, he kind of insisted, like, he was indignant when the Grizzlies came to town and they didn't play by his rules. Whereas I sort of feel like I'm imposing anytime I ask someone to come on, which is not, it's why I wouldn't be a good salesperson either. Like, I'm, you know, if I'm doing you a favor to sell you this vacuum cleaner, or, you know, yeah, you're doing a favor to buy it, it would just different approaches. Now, he also, I mean, the good thing, George had an ego, and George was sort of,
that happens in this business. It's
inflated and
it helped, happens.
But he was also, while he had that ego, and he could be dismissive, and people thought he was sort of, he also knew, literally there, I was just a sidekick. My role was sort of to poke fun at George, and he wanted me to do that. Like, so he may have had an ego, but he also was willing to poke fun at himself over that. And but I was so clearly the sidekick when I was with George. It wasn't even, you know, close.
Sure.
Whereas, and it's one reason why, when Gary and I left, Gary and I started to do the Jeff and Gary show on another AM station. Didn't last long because the station basically didn't have any money. That was just different because then we could put our own stamp on it. And then that became the afternoon show, the Gary Parish show with Jeff Calkins. And Gary did a great job turning that into a vehicle and sort of creating 92.9, which,
yep,
people wondered, can you have an FM station in my sports station in Memphis? And it has been a huge success because people like Gary and then Chris Vernon and Eric Castletine, and then I jumped on, and now obviously you and Jeffrey and Jason and John, it's been a pretty good run for a station that, you know, was only invented 16 years ago.
Yeah. Is it just a coincidence that your beloved Buffalo Bills are ending their run, was it 53-year run, in Highmark Stadium and you're stepping away? Is there any coincidence? Is it just coincidence,
people,
or was this planned?
Various of my friends who are Patriots fans have said that I can't stand to be on the radio talking about the Patriots ascending to the top of the AFC East again, and that's why I'm walking away. there may be something.
You relate
to
that. I take it.
Yeah, and it does seem ridiculously unfair that the Patriots, having ruled for so long, they have this brief period when they're in the dumps, and all of a sudden they get a franchise quarterback again, and now we could look at another, whatever, they've got $40 million in cap space this year or whatnot. We could be looking at another long run for the Patriots. For someone from Buffalo, that seems desperately unfair. But I did enjoy the Bills' send-off of the stadium, which, for those in Buffalo, will always be known as the Ralph. We can call it Highmark, whatever, but it's the Ralph. And and that was sweet over the weekend to see how that wrapped up.
Yeah. Now you brought up John Harbaugh, so let's get to some sports talk. Then we'll all in this conversation with another. Get your radio retirement wish for Memphis sports. I'm curious, this John Harbaugh firing. I mean, how shocked are you? The way Connor and I explained it, we're surprised, not shocked. Because an 8-9 season, it was a failure. You don't have the Bengals up. You don't have the Chiefs up. You have the Steelers beating you in the season finale to get in with the oldest team known to man. So, I get it, but at the same time, that was an 18-year run. He was the second longest tenured head coach besides Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, he's actually, and this shocked me, he is the longest tenured coach of any major league team in Baltimore. And if you go back and think about it, you're probably too young for Earl Weaver.
Yeah.
But Earl Weaver was synonymous with the Orioles, and he was 17 years. And then there was Weeb Eubanks way back when, and Ted Marchabrota way back when, and Tony Dungy. And to think that John Harbaugh outlasted them all is pretty remarkable. When he was hired, he was a special teams coach. And so that's what he was known for. He's obviously been a tremendously successful coach, wins the Super Bowl. I think the fact that they make the change speaks to a couple things. One, I think it's real confidence in the organization. That organization has always been really good.
Yeah.
And they draft well. And I think there's confidence that, sure, we can move on from John Harbaugh and we can replace him and not miss a beat. But the other thing is, I do think it's a recognition that This is a moment in time with Lamar that has been unsatisfactory in terms of the level of success in the playoffs. And why are they to think that it would be different next year? I think they just feel like we've got to change something. This would not be unlike the Bills if they get bounced, let's say, by Jacksonville, deciding to move on from Sean McDermott. The Bills now have the longest playoff streak in the NFL, right? They're a very successful franchise. Even when the Chiefs can't make it now and the Ravens can't make it now and the Lions can't be, are out again, they're the Bills in the playoffs yet again. In some ways, it would be insane to move on from Sean McDermott. Obviously, he doesn't have the Super Bowl. But you can also say, listen, we're doing this. We've done this. And it doesn't work. It's not working. We have this quarterback, whether it's Lamar or whether it's Josh, and we owe it to ourselves to see if a different mix will produce a different result once you get to the playoffs. I don't think I would have fired him.
Right.
I don't think I would have had the nerve to fire him. I would have just assumed that this year was bad health. Had they been healthy, they would have been in the playoffs. Let's run it back. But again, I think that this goes back to the confidence they have in themselves as an organization that they can move on.
And they should have it. This is only their fourth. This will be their fourth head coaching hiring in franchise history.
It's tremendous. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tremendous.
So there's
they draft incredibly well. The Eagles, the Ravens both draft incredibly well. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Lamar, though. His contract he's going to need a new contract soon, and he doesn't have an agent, and so we'll go through all that complication again. But I wouldn't want to be the one following John Harbaugh. I think it's going to be, I bet the next guy doesn't last 18 years. I do think, obviously, the difference with McDermott and Harbaugh is a Super Bowl. And if you have that Super Bowl, it kind of makes you, it feels like it should make you bulletproof, right? But I guess even that wears off.
All right, now, real quick, CFP, we haven't discussed the quarterfinal games. And I know they're a little bit in the past, but Miami gets through over Ohio State, Ole Miss over Georgia, Oregon over Texas Tech. That one was pretty simple. And then Indiana, I figured they'd win. Didn't think they'd win by 35. I mean, that's absolutely insane. Of these games, obviously the Final Four is shocking in a lot of different ways. But of these quarterfinal games, what really jumped out to you? Was it Miami being able to impose their will on Ohio State? Is it Indiana slapping down Alabama? Is it Alabama being a shell of their former selves? Not that we didn't have the inkling of that already, but that was full-on proof. Or is it Ole Miss without Lane Kiffin bucking against the trend and as focused as humanly possible?
That's the thing. I think the only one that was not particularly interesting, right, was Oregon taking care of Texas Tech, which looked one-sided. Texas Tech couldn't do anything, really. But then the others, for different reasons, are all incredibly compelling. I did think of you as I saw Alabama getting routed.
Yep.
You and your jihad on behalf of the G5, that here we have a route. Like, if that were Indiana beating up on Tulane, we would say, well, why is the American even there, right? But no one's saying, why are we – this is what happens when you get that overinflated SEC in there.
Yeah, like, and Jeff, you can bet your bottom dollar I sent out a tweet immediately about the difference in points between Indiana and Alabama and Tulane and Ole Miss in the first round.
Right. James Madison certainly played a closer game than Alabama did against Alabama. But they're all compelling. Who the hell would have imagined that Miami? I mean, we still thought Ohio State was, you know, but they manhandled them, really.
Last team in, by the way, Miami.
Last team in. The Ole Miss story is great. I mean, I may write a column about this, but I do wonder, how are you? Like, you're not a guy who particularly wishes good things for Ole Miss. I wouldn't.
Oh,
think,
no, not at all. I'm very. I'm pretty outspoken in the sense that I did not enjoy my visits there, and I have never been the best friends of Ole Miss fans.
But given that, even given that, when you have Lane bolting, and you have this team which has lost their coaching staff doing what they're doing, it's kind of hard not to get behind that story. I think even I have encountered lots of Memphis fans, certainly Tennessee fans, are united in their disdain for Lane Kiffin.
Sure.
But I've talked to a bunch of Memphis fans who are like, you know what? This year I can get behind Ole Miss. Others who are like, never in a million years.
Connor,
you know,
I genuinely said this to Connor an hour ago, Connor, probably, said the same thing. I've never been a fan of Ole Miss, never have got along with a bunch of their fans, but at the same time, it is kind of cool to see this team rally against all the chaos that Lane Kiffin caused. And on top of that, the storylines along the way where you have just about the whole team being retained by Pete Golding. And there's a conversation when Pete Golding gets hired, the conversation is, okay, this is a step down. They just took what was easy, what was right there. But now that you see this roster being retained and you know Pete Golding is an ace recruiter, you start to have questions about, okay, how sustained is this success going to be even when Pete Golding takes over full time?
I think that's all true, and then the Trinidad Chambliss story itself is incredibly compelling. So, so they're all like, and then to see Indiana just destroy Alabama, you know, literally during the broadcast, you had them both saying, "This is getting to be humiliating." I mean, that was said out loud during the broadcast, and we all saw it. We knew it was humiliating, but this is getting to humiliating. And then you've got Kalen DeBoer, who by getting into the playoffs, you thought maybe, and then winning a game, might have quieted some of the criticism. And here it comes rushing back because they get destroyed again in a meaningful game. And so I just think it's been great. And I think these two games should be really interesting as well.
Yeah, and the SEC, real conversations are starting to be had, but need to be had. 4-9. 4-9 in postseason play. And I think it's apparent to everybody who has watched both those conferences, the Big Ten and the SEC. Sure, we can talk about the SEC's depth. I think it's a lot tougher to go to Mississippi State than it is to go to Northwestern. I'm fully understand that. Or Kentucky. But I think it's pretty clear there's a growing gap between the top tier of the Big Ten and the top tier of the SEC at the current moment. I don't think we can ignore that any longer. Obviously, Big Ten teams have won the last two titles, but when you look at that Indiana result, when you see Georgia getting knocked out by Ole Miss and Alabama, you see all these things, and you just sort of wonder what the SEC's plan is to try to catch up. And I've looked at it, and I've looked at like sort of the recruiting battles and the top of the SEC, the top of the Big Ten. It just feels like the top of the Big Ten and the Ohio States, the Michigans, the Oregons, they have stayed the same. They've stayed at their perch atop the Big Ten. Whereas, like, these SEC schools, Vandy's getting recruits from Georgia, you know, and Kentucky, and Kentucky's signing great transfer portal guys. And,
You know, it just feels like the SEC and the competition for recruits and players and talent has become, I mean, they're cannibalizing each other.
It's a sort of interesting theory because you're basically saying there's a certain number of people who would be going to SEC schools, and those are being more evenly divided
yes.
up now.
Yes, right? Whereas in the Big Ten, the same type of talent that Ohio State used to get, they're still getting. You get what I mean? Like, it's not, there hasn't been a fall off.
Yeah, and yeah, it certainly, and listen, I think, I mean, Ole Miss is justifiably, I'm fascinated to see what it will look like when Ole Miss's offense and Miami's defense are on the field, because it feels like Ole Miss can score against anybody, right? And yet that Miami defense is absolutely hellacious.
Yes.
And so what's that Bain versus Chambliss matchup going to look like?
Because Bain and Mesidor, by the way. Mesidor
Bain
was
and Mesidor.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, no, you're right. Let's not ignore
it. Yeah, two sacks against Ohio State.
Yeah. So that'll be fascinating to me.
Yep.
And it's possible that, yeah, I mean, Jeffrey posited today that the other historical big dogs in the SEC can't be happy to see what Ole Miss is doing, because you don't need Ole Miss if you're Alabama or Georgia or LSU or what, you don't need Ole Miss to firmly establish themselves as something other than what they've been of, you know, which is the sort of a mid-level SEC team. You don't need another high echelon permanently, you know, competitive team in the SEC when you're already dealing with
yes.
the influx of Texas and Oklahoma and everything else.
That's a great
point. It does get to be a grueling, grueling march.
Yeah. And one other thing I was thinking about, and I listen, this is, you know, Jeffrey talks about workshopping takes. This is a workshop take right now.
Okay.
I was thinking about the Big Ten and their realignment. They went all to the West Coast. So their geographic footprint recruiting-wise is just about the exact same. But now that you add, you know, you look at the SEC, Texas and Oklahoma come in, they're all recruiting from the same spots. This is a workshop take. This is not fully cooked yet.
Right.
But I was thinking about that. Maybe that's another reason, but we'll see. But these two semifinal games should be fun. Jeff, I will get your Memphis sports retirement wish coming up on Thursday when we talk speak for the last time.
I'll ponder it on the show.
You'll be prepared for it, but we will talk to you
I'll
on Thursday.
Prepared. Perfect. Thanks.
Appreciate it. He's Jeff Calkins at Jeff_Calkins on X Daily Memphian Columnist. And for the next 3 days, the host of the Jeff Calkins Show. Connor's getting kind of weird, you know, like I, you know, thinking about no Jeff Calkins going into the future after this week, isn't it?
It's
strange.
It's very strange.
It is.
Very strange. Jeff is, weirdly enough, one of the few phone numbers I have memorized. Because I've had to dial it for almost a decade now.
Yeah.
So I have his phone number. I almost just said it on air.
Yeah. Don't really say it.
No. He's one of the few numbers that I actually have memorized. I don't have to look up a contact whenever I give him a call. I'm going to miss James Taylor every
day. Yeah. And you know what? You'll get to type that contact in at least one more time for the show on Thursday.
At least one more time.
So we'll have Jeff on Thursday, but I appreciate him joining right now. Let's go ahead and grab a break on that note. We'll transition to a trip around the National Football League. And we will also rank these open jobs with the Ravens firing Jim Harbaugh or John Harbaugh. Where does that rank? We'll talk about all that next.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, And you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Back onto the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. It's time to take a trip around the National Football League. Connor, hit it. This is really cool. This is a guy I really liked when he came out of the draft a few years back, but he's out of Mississippi State. Seahawks and star offensive tackle, left tackle, Charles Cross have agreed to terms on a four-year extension worth $104.4 million, 26.1 average per year. It's the largest non-quarterback contract in Seattle's history. He gets $40.5 million in year one. It's front-loaded, so we'll see how it all ages. But Charles Cross has been phenomenal. He's playing at an all-pro level, one of the best pass protectors in the entire National Football League. His run blocking has come along. This is a really, really good draft pick, good development, great job by the entire Seahawks organization to be able to get this done. Tua Tagovailoa says he wants a fresh start, Connor. And this was the quote he gave. That would be dope. It would be dope to get a fresh start. Okay. What fresh start are you looking for?
Retirement.
You want to be a starter somewhere? That ain't happening, brother. You'll be a backup somewhere, and you're probably going to hate it, but you will get paid, and you already have your big deal, so you got generational money. Just spend it wisely. But he wants a fresh start, Connor. I don't know where that's going to be. I don't know what takers would be out there to even bring him in as a backup. So we'll see, but he thinks it would be dope if he got a fresh start outside of Miami.
His fresh start needs to be on a beach. Just retire. Hang him up.
Yeah, listen. When you've had as many concussions as him, and the severity of the concussions, if you're talking about fresh starts elsewhere as a backup, just go off into the sunset. You made $53.1 million for the last 3 years. You're good. You're okay. You've made it. You've made it. Just stick with that. I'm floored by this news that I'm about to share with you. Zach Taylor, of course, mentioned he's going to be retained by the Bengals. But know who else is going to be retained? He says he won't make any staff changes, including their defensive coordinator, Al Golden.
What?
They're not firing
him.
That's
insane.
They're keeping him. And listen, I am fully aware that a lot of the problems the Bengals had defensively, you know, 30th in points per game allowed and dead last in rush yards per game allowed and all these different – I am fully aware that a lot of it's personnel-based, okay? They don't have the players because they're cheap. But I have a general rule. If your best defensive metric is 26th in the NFL, and that's their pass yards allowed per game, they were 26th, that's their best defensive metric, your DC needs to be fired. You need to find a new one. They were 30th in points allowed per game. I think they were 32nd, dead last in rush yards allowed per game, 26th in pass yards allowed per game. They were horrible. They didn't have a redeeming quality. And Al Golden did nothing of substance. There are ways to get around bad personnel. We've seen it multiple times. I mean, listen, I'm not saying the Chargers have bad personnel, but they don't have known personnel. And look at what they're doing with their defense, one of the best in the entire NFL. So while Al Golden had excuses, there's no excuse to be as bad as they were. They gave up 28, nearly 29 points per game and he is still going to have a job going into next year. With generally, maybe they use the draft to get a bunch of defensive guys, but he's going to have to develop them. Do you trust him to do that? I think this is silly, and it's further proof that the Bengals are an unserious franchise. They're an unserious franchise. If you are taking yourself seriously, you fire Al Golden right now. I'll give the Cowboys credit. Dead last in opponent points per game. They gave up 30.9. Matt Eberflus gets fired. This is what you're supposed to do. I'm actually giving credit to Jerry Jones. Yes, you're hearing me right. When you are that bad and you make that bad of a hire, even if it's year one, you get rid of it. You cut bait. And Matt Eberflus is on the unemployment line now. Commanders and offensive coordinator Cliff Kingsbury have agreed mutually to part ways. Cliff Kingsbury is going to pursue other opportunities. Okay. I people know how I feel about Cliff Kingsbury. He can coach the hell out of an offense for either the first half of a season or the first couple of seasons he's somewhere. Did it with the Cardinals. The Arizona Cardinals with Kyler Murray. But after a while, when you're as predictable as he is, when you line up the X receiver on the outside 90% of the time, when you do all these things that are super predictable that you put on film, by year three or the second half of a season, your offense goes to nothing. And that's what we see with Cliff Kingsbury time and time again. Now, he's going to probably get hired as an OC again somewhere else. And I bet you in year one, or at least the first half of the year, he has tremendous success. But then after that, what's it look like? I continue to ask that question every time he gets another job. I think he's a good offensive mind, but he needs someone in his ear to break tendency. He is one of the most predictable offensive coordinators, offensive minds in football, certainly in the NFL right now. So we'll see where he lands, but hey, year two for him with Jaden Daniels, I know there was injuries involved, was ugly. See who they interviewed today? Or they're requesting
interview? They're going after.
They're going after John Harbaugh.
As they should.
I think that would be an unbelievable hire.
As they should.
Unbelievable hire. And everything's in place for them, you know, for the most part. They have some cap space. They're going to have some more draft picks. Jackson Dart's there, though. You have a quarterback. All right, now let's go ahead and rank these openings. In honor of that, I'm going to start at number one. We'll go from best to worst. Because John Harbaugh, was relieved of his duties today, the Ravens, I think, for both of us, is going to be number one.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson. I'm not going to say anything else. They need to improve the defense, need to improve the offensive line, but Lamar Jackson exists, and he exists in a Baltimore Ravens uniform, and he's on a long-term contract. So they're number one by default.
Real quick, they are number one for me as well. Adam Schefter just sent this out. In the first 45 minutes after John Harbaugh was fired this afternoon, his agent said he received calls from seven NFL franchises expressing interest.
So
which
all
means,
seven?
No, all six, besides Baltimore,
six.
Meaning one team with the sitting head coach called. Interesting.
Wow.
Interesting.
Wow. And if Tyler Loop doesn't miss that kick, does he still have a job?
Yeah.
That doesn't seem fair. Pretty short-sighted.
I mean,
but Ravens, yeah. Without question, number one opening.
Yeah.
Number two, I'm going to go the Falcons. I think they have Bijan Robinson is one of the best running backs in the league. We'll see what happens with Kyle Pitts, but Kyle Pitts is a good tight end when you use him correctly. Drake London, really, really good wide receiver. Offensive line, sneaky good. They've spent a lot of draft capital on it. Chris Lindstrom is an all-pro, perennial all-pro at the guard position. They're really good up there. Defense maybe needs some, they can work out the kinks, but they were good down the stretch of this season. Yep. I think they have a roster that's ready to go. I feel similarly to them as I do about the Jaguars last season when Liam Cohen took over. I just need someone to get the most out of Michael Penix Jr. That's what I need for the next head coach of the Falcons. They need to find somebody to get the most out of their quarterback. Number three, I'm going to go with the Giants. Jackson Dart and a lot of cap space. Four Titans, they would be higher. They probably would leap the Giants because I'm that big of a believer in Cam Ward if Amy Adams Strunk was not their owner. Cardinals go in at number five, just kind of a meh job. Browns, you never have success as a head coach, so they're sixth. And then without question, I don't think no debate. They don't have a quarterback. They don't have an offensive line. They don't have a defensive line. Besides Max Crosby, and they already pissed him off by sitting him out at the end of the year. It's the Raiders. Bad ownership, bad everything. Tom Brady, I don't think Tom Brady can even put the magic touch on this. Not going to happen. So those are my rankings. Ravens, Falcons, Giants, Titans, Cardinals, Browns, Raiders in that order.
I had the Titans and Giants flipped. That's the only difference.
Okay, so you had Titans third.
Yeah, I'm a huge believer in Cam Ward. Huge believer.
Again, going back to Amy Adams Strunk, did you see who their
preparing to hire the Titan, or not hire, but interview.
I did.
NBC analyst Jason Garrett. That's such a Titans hire, though. I could so see that happening. I could so see it happening. Don't want it to happen for the Titans.
Sheesh.
But that seems very, very, seems real. Seems like a reality. Let's go ahead and grab a break on that note. We'll come back and get to small talk to wrap up hour number two.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. Now, the Sacramento Athletics of Major League Baseball are trying to get to Las Vegas, and they're going to get there eventually. We understand that, but everything about this move has been an abject failure and disaster of epic proportions, including just simply trying to get a patent on the name Vegas Athletics or Las Vegas Athletics. The A's are facing a curveball over their new name as they prepare to move to Las Vegas. They have gone through not just one denial of Las Vegas Athletics, but they went through a second denial of the name from the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. Now, apparently this is being taken very literal. There's a trademark attorney. This is from Front Office Sports where the story comes from. But they talk with a trademark attorney named Josh Gerben. And he explained in a blog post as well that Las Vegas Athletics is primarily geographically descriptive, meaning the name combines a well-known place name with a generic sports term, the generic sports term being athletics. And the patent office does not want them to get this necessarily in its current form because you don't want to have a youth organization that wants to be named the Athletics getting sued by the Las Vegas A's when they ultimately make the move and get this all passed through. I understand it. It makes sense. But it's just another example of the Fisher family, the ownership group there, with the A's just failing miserably at trying to get out of Oakland and get to Las Vegas.
It makes me so happy that they got denied. And the reasoning, I think, is sound. And like you said, there's a quote in there from an athletics person saying, well, we think that they're taking this quite literally. And then later on in the story, Front Office Sports is like, this is actually happens quite frequently. They have to take it literally because some youth sports group doesn't want to get smacked in the face by a suit from the Vegas A's. It's so funny that this is happening to them.
Yeah, for sure. No doubt about it. We'll see if they actually get it passed through here in the next couple
months. I'm sure they'll figure it out.
Yeah. It's not going to – front office sports, it explains. It's not going to stop the move, but it's another snag.
What happens if it isn't trademarked by the time
– they have to find a new name, right? Right? I mean, that's the only
the Las Vegas baseball team.
Why not? Las Vegas Baseball Club would sound better. It would sound better.
Team?
Sure. Come on. All right, now let's go ahead and grab a break. We'll come back, and we have a half hour to talk with Christian Fowler before we get you out to Grizzlies versus Spurs, so let's do that on the other side.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.